servant of a man, and became a servant and died for our sins. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is very clearly set forth there. Over in contrast to that, we have the selfishness of the worldly minded. Let's read that from the 13th chapter once again of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 10. Now Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that is, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then God adds this word, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, his mind was to follow after the world. Lot lifted up his eyes. He beheld. He looked. He looked for the best that the world had to offer him, and he chose what he thought was the best. Like other worldly Christians, he sets little values on the fellowship with holy men of God. His mind was set on earthly prosperity, not on heavenly things, as we would read in the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Let me read them to you from the first through to the third verse. Therefore, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Lot preferred the walk by sight rather than the walk by faith. How can two walk together then, except they be agreed? Abraham endured as seeing him who was invisible. The same thing is said also about Moses, that he as well endured. Let me read to you from Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 27. And Abraham's eyes, as I said, were set not on temporal things, but he forsook, as Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here's the statement. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Abraham saw beyond the things of this earth because his faith was in God. Where is your faith, my friends? What are you doing about it? God says faith is the evidence of things not seen, but man says seeing is believing. Is that true? Now turning to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, we're talking about the God of Abraham. In other words, God called himself the God of Abraham. I want us to see what the God of Abraham is like and what Abraham is like and what God can do through a man who will dare to believe him and dare to trust him. In contrast, we're bringing in Lot. Why? Because the Bible does. I do not think that God would take time to just sit down and write a little history concerning Lot, just in order that we might have this history. But he wants us to learn some lessons. Will you ask God to open your heart and your mind to receive the lesson he wants you to learn? They're very important. Very important. We find the selfishness on the part of a worldly-minded person. Let me read to you from the 10th to the 13th verses. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all of the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And now note why God put this in here. This next verse gives us a clue. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld, and he looked. He looked for the best that the world had to offer him. And then he chose, like other worldly Christians. He set a little value on a fellowship with God's holy men, with a fellowship with a man like Abraham. His mind was set on earthly prosperity, not on heavenly things. That is the important thing. Set your mind, is what the Word of God says. This is the important thing. It's not wrong to have riches. It's not wrong to go to a land that is well watered. That wasn't the mistake. The mistake was, that's where his heart was. That instead of the Lord. Lot preferred to walk by sight rather than by faith. And therefore, naturally, he and Abraham just somehow couldn't walk together, and especially their herdsmen too, for how can two walk together except they be agreed? Abraham endured as seeing him who is invisible. He looked beyond this world. He looked beyond this life. He says, well, I'll let God take care of it. We were asking ourselves a question. How could Abraham be so generous and offer to Lot and say, Lot, you choose what you want and I'll take the rest of it? Because Abraham believed God, and Abraham knew that God would do the right and proper choosing for him, and he wanted what God wanted him to have. You've had that experience in your life, I'm sure. I've had it hundreds of times. And the choices, I've not always made them right. No. But certainly, when we have said to God, now, you choose, you show me, you lead me, I trust you to take on. Well, God says faith is the evidence of things not seen. But man says sight is the evidence. Seeing is believing is man's motto. The eye gate is one of the avenues through which temptation assails the soul. And we read about this in the scriptures. Take, for instance, 1 John 2 and verse 16, where he says this. 1 John 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, so says God. Now this was the beginning of the complete decline and the utmost shame for Lot. He began with, let's call it a little fault if you want to. He was looking for that which pertained to the flesh, that which pertained to himself, that which pertained to his worldly living. And he was not concerned about his fellowship with a saintly man of Abraham, nor with his fellowship with God. As such, he chose that which the world offered him. So walking by sight is the cause of most of our failures and our sorrows. There are many that call us day or night, and they have problems, some in tears, some in depression, some in this and some in that. And I have found that 75% at least, maybe 85% of the cases, when I point out the fact that they are not taking the time in the Word of God, because I do this by asking them questions, of course, and they find that that is where the problem lies, their relationship and their fellowship with God. They, like Lot, have more looked upon the things that the world offers them and have neglected God himself. Take, for instance, Eve, by way of illustration. When Satan came to her, as we see in the Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, she did eat, she gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. What did she do? She saw, that's right, through the eye gate. Let's take another illustration, this time from Joshua. There was a time when there was a man who sinned. His name was Achan, and he took that which he should not have taken. You'll have to read the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua to get the whole lesson. I'm just going to read a portion of it. When finally Achan was pinned down to his sin of doing what the Lord had said not to do, here is what he said. And I read from the 7th chapter of Joshua, verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. Well, there are more verses here about this thing, but just notice these particular statements. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. The sad thing is, and I say it emphatically, I say it kindly, but I say it emphatically, and that is, one of the biggest curses of our day is on much of our TVs, what we see with our eyes. I said much, not all of it. There are wonderful things there. And the question then is, what are we seeing? Let's face the fact, friends. This is a fact. Are we controlling it the way we should? Lot saw. He beheld. He chose. that which was good. But God, oh, God sees something else. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. To the worldly eye of Lot, all the plains appeared well watered, and as a garden of Eden. Now, there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but that shows where his heart was. But to the holy eye of the Lord, the cities of the plains, and then Sodom itself, were people of wicked sinners. God saw this. And if Lot had only counseled with God, God would have shown this to him. But he didn't. Listen to the words again. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. This is what God has to say about it. Now there are a few other verses that I'd like to bring to your attention. Take, for instance, Psalm 37, 4 and 5, verses that have been undergirding of my life for all these years that we've been here with Back to the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Ah, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you will desire the right things in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Or in Psalm 32, verse 8, we read this. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. If we will allow God to do the seeing for us, he will guide us. Our need is to trust him fully. This is something that Lot just wasn't doing. Well, let's take a good look now at what God has to say about Lot's sojourn in Sodom. We saw this in verses 11 and 12. He journeyed then towards Sodom, and he dwelt in the cities before Sodom. He didn't go into Sodom right away. But please note, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. No, he had an eye on Sodom. This was possibly the big city of the area. And so here are his various steps downward. Follow them. First, he lifted up his eyes and beheld. Now you can, even Abraham did that, but we'll get to that in a moment. He chose the plains of Jordan. And we have to do some choosing too. One of the great sins of today is indecision. But he chose the plains of Jordan. Knows what's leading to you. Then he separated himself from Abraham, from spiritual fellowship. That's where the real downfall came. And his eyes were on the things that the world had to give them. Fourthly, he dwelt in the cities of the plains. Fifthly, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, the city of wickedness, but he was aiming to get there. Finally, in the 14th chapter it says, and finally he dwelt in Sodom. And then the seventh step down, we see him as an elderman in Sodom itself, a position of high and great importance. He felt, well, maybe if he were there, he could do some things for them and so on. Then finally we see also his daughters married Sodomites, unsaved people. Why? Because he not only dwelt among them, but dwelling among them, he could not be too strict, because after all, they had to have some friends, and there weren't any believers in the area, and so this was all they could do. Now, if he had waited upon the Lord, what a difference that would have made. Behold, how great a fire a little matter kindleth. From lifting up his eyes to an official in the city of wickedness. There you see his downfall. It's like cancer. There may be just a little skin rash. Oh, that's just a skin rash and so on. But you let it go. Pay no attention to it. It can finally lead to death unless we are very careful about this matter. Take 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8, where he has some important statements for us. The scripture says, and Lot was a just man and a righteous man, but he was dragged downward by his appetite for the things that the world offered him. Now, God called him a righteous man and a just man. God is honest with his determination of what a man is. And when God says the man was just, the man was righteous, he meant that he had accepted the righteousness of God. It wasn't that his life was righteous. The things he was doing were not righteous. But nevertheless, he had accepted let's call it the salvation that God offered him, as we were talking in New Testament times. Now, Psalm 1 has some very important things there too also. Notice what he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the three steps. Walking, then standing, finally sitting. At first, it was just in the counsel with the ungodly. He just talked with them. Then, it was in the way of the sinners. Thirdly, And finally, it was the seat of the scornful. This is the downward road of sin, friends. And the psalmist said that the man who does not go this direction is blessed. The believer who avoids the downward path of sin finds that his delight is in the law of the Lord, as we read in the next two verses, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, that shall prosper. Well, here you see, first of all, the steps downward in verse 1, and then in verse 2 and 3, the steps upward. We saw that Lot lived according to verse 1, and Abraham lived according to verse 2 and 3. Go back to Psalm 1, meditate on it, pray it through, check on yourselves, where are you living? In verse 1 or in verses 2 and 3? Make all the difference in your life. This is a very, very important matter, friends. So consider Lot's deliverance from Sodom. In fact, there were two deliverances. God was merciful to Lot because Lot was his child. God gave Lot plenty of warning, we see in the 14th chapter. First of all, there was the battle of the four kings against the fives, and Lot lost all of his goods. He was taken captive, and his life was in danger all the time. But he was so calloused, he failed to learn the lesson. He recovered later on his freedom and his property, and here we say thanks to Abraham. We'll see that a little later. So he went back to Sodom. Why? Didn't he learn his lesson? Even God in his grace could not move this man's heart. Do we become so callous that God cannot move us? Then the second time, again we find that God moved in to deliver him when the time came for the destruction of the city of Sodom, the 19th chapter. God in his faithfulness sent two angels unto him. And you have to read that chapter to see the whole thing. But note it, please, if you will, the meanness. I call it the meanness and the selfishness of Lot's character. Turning to the 19th chapter, we have just time for one or two verses there. Verse 4 to 8, we'll notice this thing in the 19th chapter. But before they lay down, that is, the angels came to Lot, but before they went to rest that night, even the men of Sodom compassed the house around about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They wanted to have a sexual relationship with men, mind you. But Lot went out at the door unto them and closed the door after him. And he says, prayed unto the brethren. And he says, please do not so wickedly. And then note what he said. And this is the sad thing. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray thee, you bring them out unto you, and do you unto them which is good in your eyes. Only do not anything to these men. He was putting on a show for these men that he was spiritual, and he was willing to sacrifice the sacredness of his daughter's lives. Well, we'll have to quit here and continue here on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, in studying the life of Abraham, of course, there was this relationship with Lot. And God wrote it down that there might be some special lessons that we should learn from this. God, in two different occasions, delivered Lot when he was captured. First, the four and five kings that came up against the city and captured everything, and he lost everything. But thanks to Abraham in this case, he was brought back again. But then there came another time. When the time came when God said that the sin of Sodom has risen so high, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Lot was living in the city at that particular time. In fact, he was one of its magistrates. And God says, I cannot move and do anything until I move them out. That's what the word says very clearly. I just can't move, do anything, get out of here. And so, again, God moved to save his man. God is faithful in this matter, and he sent a couple of angels to tell him what would transpire and what would be done. And you'll recall that the people of the land of the city became very angry with Lot because he harbored these two angels, and they wanted him to bring the angels out to them that they might have a sex relationship. Just think of it, how low the city had gone. But now comes the factor of how low Lot's moral perceptions had come. I tell you, it not only startles me, it's terrible, the utter degraded selfishness of Lot's character. As we were reading in the 19th chapter, and when he came out to these people and said, "Now, don't be so rough about here. I'm not going to give you these men." In other words, it looks though, and now this is all I can say. It looks as though Lot was putting on a so-called spiritual show, but at the same time, he says to them, "He says, now I have two daughters that have never known men. I'll bring them out to you, and you can do with them what you want to." Can you imagine a father stooping that low? Well, I can't. To me, it is absolutely unthinkable, but here it is. That's where Lot went. Well, where did it all start? He set his eyes on the things of the world. And his message and his whole testimony was absolutely powerless, even to his own children and to his own son-in-laws. When Lot told his married daughters and their husbands of the coming judgment upon the city, it says that he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Lot's married daughters and their husbands would not listen to him. Lot had no testimony among his own family. The question is, what is our testimony today? Like among our own family, what are they saying? What are they thinking? Or friends, or business associates, and so on. Do they see you and me as one who desires to please the Lord? Or only one thing, we're trying to get everything we can out of the world? What do they see in us? That is, to me, a very, very important question. Well, we note where his heart was. We see it here in the 19th chapter, verse 15 and 16. "And when the morning arose and the angels hastened, Lot saying, 'Take your wife now, let's get out of here.' And it says, 'And while they lingered, showing you where their heart was. But God in his mercy, God said this, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city.'" God said, "I cannot do anything until you get out of here." The harvest of his sowing to the flesh is seen in that which overtook his wife, as we see later on, when God says, "Get out of here, don't even look back, because this is going up in smoke." But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. This is an awful thing. And then his awful crime, of course, with his two daughters. He fathered two sons by his two remaining daughters. And then finally it tells us that he lived in a cave. What a sad, sad condition. He lived in a cave. Here are the words of the Lord. "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither." These are the words that God spake unto Lot. Well, the deliverance of Lot was a remarkable incident of God's care for his own. And he does care for his own. This is very, very important that we recognize this fact. We read in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 7 and 8. And here, that's a commentary on Lot here, where it is said that God delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, and things of Sodom vexed Lot's soul, because he was a child of God. But he continued to live in Sodom in spite of all of that. That is the sad thing about him. And then we'll note on how many of us are saying that this world is so wicked. What is happening to our young people? What is happening to our church? These are the things I hear people say everywhere. These are questions that you are asking, and I'm asking, I guess. But we are also need to ask ourselves, where are we? It is time that we quit talking about others and examine our own hearts, friends. Lot was snatched as a brand plucked out of the fire, saved yet so as by fire. But because God was faithful, and he said he could not do anything until he had moved Lot out of there. Yes, So let us wait until the fire comes and so on, until God has to move in that way. But although we live in the world, we are not of the world. Let us be separated from sin and separated from God and walk in fellowship with Him. But be careful of one thing. Even though God was careful and couldn't move until He moved Lot out of there, because Lot was His child. Let's not be presumptuous and think, well, okay, if God's going to be that gracious, I can just do what I want to. Be very careful about that, because the sin of presumption, David called it the great sin, and God will punish it. He was snatched away from all of that. God was faithful. God could not do anything until He was out. So let us be warned. Now see Moses' attitude towards the things that God had for him. For instance, in Hebrews 11:26, it says, "And Moses had respect unto the recompense of reward, because of this he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt." Moses looked to the future. Are we? What are our eyes fixed on? Where is your heart, friends? The Bible says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, some people say, "Oh, but I'm not concerned about the rewards of the Lord." You know, to me, friends, that is an insulting statement. Now, pardon me for being so plain, but it's insulting God. He's offering you a reward, and you say, "I don't want your reward." I know you're not saying it that way, but you say, trying to be religious and say, "Well, I don't really care about your reward. I just want to serve you because I love you." Friends, God is offering us a reward, and let us not insult Him in this way. Well, what was the end for Lot? That's the sad, sad condition. But let's get back to Abraham. Going back now again, once again to the 13th chapter, we see God comes now after Abraham's separation from Lot, and we find the third communication with him after Lot was separated from him. Now, the purpose of God for Abraham was now accomplished. The last of that which Abraham had not forsaken, as God had said that he should, was now accomplished. In Isaiah 51:2, God said, "It was Abraham alone that I called." He was left alone with God. So God now says to Abraham, and let me read these verses to you from verse 14 of the 13th chapter. "And the Lord said unto Abraham," after that Lot had separated from him, "Lift now up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art towards the northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for thee. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee." Then Abraham removed his tent and came to the and dwelt in the land of Mamre, that is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So now God says, "Lift up your eyes." The place of separation becomes a place of vision. Lot lifted up his eyes to the plains. He lost all because it was a selfish look. But Abraham lifted up his eyes at God's command, and he received the title deed, an undisputable title deed to the land of Canaan. This was a gift from God, and it was his forever. God will honor those who honor him. Now, it is very significant that not until now did the Lord say, "The land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Note how God had approached him several times before. In the 12th chapter, where God first spoke to Abraham, he says, "Go to the land that I will show thee." Then later in the 12th chapter, in the 7th verse, he says, after he had entered the land, that is, after he'd gone there, then he says, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." But now, for the first time, after the complete separation, he says, "To thee will I give this land." This is the first time that Abraham realized this land was going to be given unto him. God did not give it to him or promise it to him just right away. God was waiting for him to completely separate. He had given him at least three or four different things that he should do. Separate from your land, from your kindred, and from everybody, and unto myself, and I will show you the land. I will give it to your seed. Now he says, if he did it, I will give it unto you. Then note further, not until now does God say, walk through the land. Walking through the land speaks of taking possession of it, taking it for yourself. It belongs to you. I want you to go and take it. Now, Abraham was to claim, that is, to appropriate the land and take it as God had said. We read in Joshua, the first chapter, and in the third verse, when he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. And he also says in John 7, 37, he says, all ye that thirst, come unto me, and I will give you drink. But you have to come unto me. So, it was given unto him in that manner. Proverbs 3, 5 and to 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. In other words, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So what God is demanding is that there be complete separation, and now go and claim the land, take it as unto yourself. This was God's promise to him, and he should now go take it. Now here then, we have the contrast of the worldly Christian and the faithful one. One is moved by the word of God, the other by self-interest. Lot went leaning on his own understanding. Abraham leaning on the promises of God, as I just read to you. And Abraham separating himself from everything unto God alone. Now the land thou seest, he says, I will give it unto thee. All you can encompass by walking in it, I will give it unto thee. But the last thing he says here, and this is what's so precious to me, is, and then he went down to Mamre and so on, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. This was a living testimony. Lot had lost his testimony, but Abraham's testimony became greater and greater all the time. The spiritual principle is, the just shall live by faith. He says, I am going to be the God of Abraham. He did not say the God of Lot. Now true, Lot was his child. But God didn't give himself that title, the God of Abraham. He wants to and will be God to you. That's what he says in the Word of God. If we will come out and separate ourselves unto him completely. Note now, he goes down to Mamre, which signifies fatness. And then Hebron, which means fellowship. This is where God is taking him. Then we note that Abraham, and not until then, there was complete separation, was Abraham fully in the will of God. Then there was full fellowship. Then there was full fatness. Then he built an altar there unto the Lord. God is calling for this separation on our part and your part. In 2 Corinthians 7, 1, we read once more, cleanse ourselves, or let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, and give ourselves wholly and unreservedly unto him. So, Abraham took the pathway of complete separation from the world unto God. Lot took the pathway of worldliness, and Lot lost everything he had, and finally we find him in a cave. Abraham received the title deed to the land of Canaan. It was his and is his forever. Well, thank the Lord for a man like Abraham and God's lesson to us from the life of Lot.